This week and for the next several weeks, we will be reading different passages of Scripture from the 14th chapter of Mark's Gospel. And in addition to that, as we sort of march toward Easter through these last days of Jesus' life, we have decided to have an online Bible study posted so that each week a different staff person or lay leader has written a study that will go to the website and you can find a link to go to it. It's different each week. If you don't like one, that's okay. There'll be a new one next week. But each one centers on the text that we'll be using this Sunday. So it's kind of a neat way to prepare or review for that passage. I'm reading today from Mark, beginning in verse 3 of chapter 14. While Jesus was in Bethany, reclining at the table in the home of Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. Some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, "Why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor." And they rebuked her harshly. "Leave her alone," Jesus said. "Why are you bothering me? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, and you can help them any time you want. But you will not always have me. She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. I tell you, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
It's not that I don't care about helping people. It's just that, well, we can't all be Gandhi or Mother Teresa, right? I mean, I have my own problems to worry about. Like this morning, I was on the way back from the gym, and I blew a tire right on the side of the road. I mean, come on, who leaves a pothole on the side of the road? So anyway, there I was, already running late for my nail appointment, stranded in the middle of rush hour traffic. What's more, I get the pleasure of waiting 25 minutes for the tow truck guy to show up. 25 minutes. I mean, what'd he do, stop for breakfast? Anyway, I guess my point is that poor people and refugees aren't the only ones with problems. You know, it's not like I'm completely void of compassion or something. Once, I sponsored a kid in Ethiopia or someplace for like 3 months. I guess my perspective on the whole thing is that God helps those who help themselves. I mean, that's in the Bible somewhere, isn't it?
Of all the people in the room, surely this unnamed woman in Mark's gospel had a few problems of her own, don't you think? Surely she had had a busy week, or was maybe sort of in between paychecks. I bet her kids had been sick. Or maybe she wasn't feeling very well herself. Maybe she had a flat tire on the way to her nail appointment. Of all the people in the room, surely this woman in Mark could have come up with an excuse not to go that day. You know, she wasn't invited. All the pictures show that she was the only woman there, an intruder, an outsider, an unwanted and uninvited guest. Why would she take her most expensive treasure, that single item worth a whole year's salary? What item would that be for you? One item worth 1 year's salary. How much is too much for Jesus anyway? Of all the people in the room, why did this woman step out of bounds? Why did she anoint Jesus? It wasn't her home. It wasn't her place to do so. Why did she break a jar that could have been opened? Why did she pour out all of it when a drop or two would have done? Why was she like that? Did she just not get it? Was her life somehow better than ours? Didn't she have anything else to do all day long? Didn't she have problems of her own? I can think of a lot of reasons for this woman in Mark not to do what she did. But I wonder, can we think of one reason why she did it? I wonder. Something really strange happened to my parents about the time Robert was born. I don't know what it was. Maybe they had some little strokes or something. I really don't know. But I will never forget the day that my dimple-kneed little boy with sticky fingers and a sippy cup full of grape juice came toddling into my mother's sunroom. I tried to stop him. I tried to get to him before she did, before he spilled purple juice on her white carpet, before he wiped his sticky hands on her white couch. But I was too late. I knew that my son was in for it. Instead, my mother said, "Oh, baby, it's all right. I don't mind if Robert wants to bring his little snack in here. You leave him alone. And Robert, you just come sit over here with me." I wanted to say, "Who are you and what have you done with my mother?" Because she was certainly not the woman who had raised me. Turns out I was right. She no longer was the woman who had raised me. She was now the grandmother of my children. A new woman. Changed by love. Made over from the inside out. That is what God's love does for us. It changes us into graciously extravagant people who pour ourselves out for others. Since we can't pour ourselves out on Jesus anymore like the woman in the story, since we can't do that directly, we do what Jesus told us to do, and we pour ourselves out for others. Because as we do it for them, Jesus says, we do it for Him too. God helps those who help themselves is not in the Bible after all. The Bible is the story of God helping people who cannot help themselves, who don't know the way, who have nowhere else to go. God helps those who cannot help themselves. And this great mystery of our faith is that sometimes we are the ones that God uses to do the helping. You know, we do all have problems of our own. Some of them are bigger than others. But do we let our problems keep us from pouring ourselves out for others? Many of you may have read or heard of Brendan Foster. He was in the news. He had his own problems. He had acute lymphoblastic leukemia. I have lost a couple very dear and beautiful friends to leukemia myself. I still miss them. It is a brutal disease, exhausting in the end, making even breathing difficult. Before getting sick, though, Brendan was the kid who ran the fastest, climbed the highest, and who dreamed of becoming an underwater photographer. But that 11-year-old who used to rush through homework so he could go out to play ended up bedridden the last months of his life. Brendan had problems of his own, but he remained sensitive to the needs of others. On a trip back from one of his doctor visits, Brendan saw a group of homeless people huddled around a fire under a bridge. He thought they looked hungry, and he asked his mom what they could do about it. She shared that with a friend who shared that with a friend. And before long, there was this whole group of people gathered to do what Brendan was hoping. That first day, they made 200 sandwiches. Half of them were ham and cheese. Half of them were peanut butter and jelly. Brendan didn't want them all to be peanut butter in case someone had an allergy. What kid thinks like that? What dying kid thinks like that? Brendan was dying. He knew it. Everybody knew it. But Brendan lived to see his dream fulfilled. As the media caught wind of his story, there were food drives in Brendan's honor, cash donations poured in, and today, thousands of meals are still being passed out to those in need in Brendan's name and in Brendan's memory. Brendan couldn't do much himself, but he did what he could. And look what came of it. He did what he could. And look what God made of it. She sits with hospice patients a couple hours a week. Though trained as a nurse, she really sits mainly as a friend, giving a break to a caregiver and attention and honor to one soon to pass. She does what she can, one morning or afternoon a week. He has a picture on his fridge and a few letters in a box. He supports a child in Ethiopia for more than 3 years now. To him, it's really not so much. But to her, it's everything. Her life has changed completely. She has a future now just because he does what he can do. They are the girls who grow their hair out just so they can turn around and cut it off again, donating that hair to a group who makes wigs for cancer patients. It's a small thing, really, unless you're one of those cancer patients. A retired and widowed grandfather drives his family crazy when he decides to move to Africa to care for children orphaned by or carrying the AIDS virus. His family doesn't quite understand it. He could die while he's over there. But they have to admit, Granddaddy seems happy and at peace doing what he can for those who cannot help themselves. The lady next door hobbles everywhere she goes. It's an effort for her even to retrieve her own mail. But when your mama died last month, there she was, bringing a loaf of her banana bread. She has problems of her own, but she does what she can. That man down the street isn't much of a talker, is he? But when the storm blew your tree down, he was there cleaning it up. And when your shrubs need trimming or your gutters need cleaning, there he is, quietly doing the work. He does what he can. You'd never know that while he does it, he prays for you and thanks God that he is still able to help. She gives up her own class time on Sunday to make Sunday school possible for children with special needs. It isn't much, maybe an hour a week. She'd be here anyway. But she does what she can and is gentle and kind to children who scare most of us, who make us feel uncomfortable. But through her touch, those children learn something more about the love of God. That man in the cubicle next to you doesn't often join in the gang with the gang for lunch. One day you found out that he visits a nursing home while you were all swarming over the buffets. His daddy used to be a resident there, but even after his father died, he knew there were lots of lonely people still there. So a couple days a week, he eats a sandwich in the car and drives to that place where he used to visit daddy, bringing light and love to those who remain. Maybe it's not so much, but he does what he can. She's a teacher who prays for her students and their families, who gives extra love and attention where those seem to be lacking. She lets the church know when the child needs glasses or a coat and thinks that the family maybe can't afford it. She does what she can. And what a difference it makes. Some of those kids have made it out of the pit. They've broken out of that cycle just because she did what she could. They spend part of every Monday answering phones for the food bank. They drop off flowers for absolutely no reason whatsoever. They give clothes and toys to the needy, and they send their prayers along with those packages and boxes. The whole family serves a meal at the soup kitchen a couple times a year. They do what they can. Just as the woman from Mark did what she could. It is beautiful to me that the woman's actions in Mark mirror the actions Jesus will make in just a few days. She breaks the jar and pours the nard. He breaks the bread and pours the wine, both foreshadowing the day when his body will be broken and his blood will be shed. This woman left no name, just the memory of a beautiful deed, a sweet fragrance on the pages of Scripture. And wherever Jesus is remembered, she is remembered too. Like the tomb of the unknown soldier, this nameless woman stands for all who have ever responded to Jesus with their own generous, selfless acts. We preach the gospel still when we do what we can. The kingdom of God here among us. I like to think that as Jesus suffered those last hours of his life, he still occasionally caught a whiff of that perfume's lingering fragrance, comforting him, reminding him of another's extravagant expression of love. You think Jesus knew that as he poured out his love for us, we would continue to do the same in his name? Go this week in the love of God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen.